May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I know some of you have come back from the school vacation, but I'm really excited because next Sunday, after church, I'm going on holiday. I'm going to England, to my motherland, for the first time in 6 years, and I'm really looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to seeing family and friends, to walking around London where I was born, and above all, looking forward to sitting in a pub and drinking a nice, warm, flat pint of English beer. So when I go on holiday, I love to take tons of books with me because I'm always worried that the plane might crash and I might be marooned on a desert island. So I want to have plenty of books with me. I'm taking lots of novels with me. And someone after the 8 o'clock service said, why don't you just take a Kindle? And I said, look, if I crash on a desert island, the battery's going to run out. So I need to take books. So as well as the novels, I'm also going to take one spiritual book written by my hero, Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury. And he's just published a new book called Being Disciples. And it's a great book. And if you haven't chosen a book to read during Lent yet, I really recommend this. It's a beautifully written book. Gets to the core of what it is to be a Christian disciple. Also, it's only 87 pages long. And the font is very big. So anyone could manage it. But this book and several other things that I've been reading recently, including the gospel reading we've just heard, and also the centenary history of St. Andrew's, which was published back in 1994, has led me to ponder this question about why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? Why do we, on a Sunday when we could be doing so many other things, why do we choose to come here? What are we doing when we come here to church? And so at 8 o'clock, I asked them the question, and they were surprisingly awake for 8 o'clock. So, what about? And they gave some really interesting answers to this question about why we come to church. So, why do you come to church? Why do people come to church? Oh my goodness, the 8 o'clock guys were doing miles better than you guys were. Yeah. So to give honor to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Yeah. I come for peace and quiet. Oh, come on, guys. You're letting me down. We've got all these Wellesley College students here. They're dying to hear about why you bother to come. Yes. Music and constancy in life. Yeah. So to get grounded after a crazy week. Yeah. Grounding spiritual meditation. Uplifting thinking, yeah. I like that. Right. That's the right answer. Thank you. I'll give you the $10 afterwards, Michael. Yeah. Yeah, Dot. Music. For Thanksgiving. Yeah. Fellowship and seeing friends and other members. Yeah. Peace and tranquility. Thankfulness and forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you, Erica. Yeah. Debbie. Gratitude for community. Yeah. Connection between scripture and everyday life. Yeah. Yeah, for children and hoping that they will come away with a strong sense of Christian tradition. These are some great answers, and they're very similar answers to what people were saying at 8 o'clock. And so I asked this question because in these two books that I mentioned, Rowan Williams' book and The History of Our Church, I came across two quite contrasting reasons about why people come to church. And this is not encompassing everything, but I was really struck by two different ideas about why people come. And so in the history of our church, at one stage, in the part written about this church before the First World War, there's a very striking paragraph in which it said that St. Andrew's was seen as a mighty fortress against a changing world, that this was a place of refuge from the world. So a sense of almost escape from the messiness of the world out there. And that contrasts very strongly with what Rowan Williams says in his book on discipleship, when he talks about the question of what is holiness? What is holiness? And he begins by saying that in the Old Testament, there's this idea of what is holy as that which is separate from the world. That holiness is about a separate place from the world where we encounter God, rather like in our gospel reading today, where when Jesus takes his disciples up the holy mountain for this encounter with the divine, where Jesus is transfigured. And we know that in the Old Testament, it's often people going to high holy mountains, sacred spaces that are separate from the rest of the world, where God is encountered. But what Rowan Williams says is that Jesus and St. Paul had a very different notion of holiness, that holiness wasn't about being separate from the world, but it was about being plunged into the depth of the world in its complete messiness and taking those eternal and unchanging values that underpin Christianity and which are at the heart of the gospel, taking those gospels of love of neighbor, of forgiveness, of redemption, of mercy, and taking those values deep into the world. What Rowan Williams says is that the sign of this holiness is found most strongly in Jesus' crucifixion, when the most holy moment, where Jesus has taken the gospel and these values to the very heart of the world, where he even dies for these values. So the question is then, what's the right answer? What is the right image of what church is about? And here I am walking down the middle of the aisle as a good Anglican and a good Episcopalian. And the answer, of course, is the middle way. It's a bit of both, the via media of the Episcopal way. That we do indeed come to church as a separate place for refreshment from the craziness of the world, to hear the scriptures read again, to be with each other, to be reminded and refreshed about what the heart of the gospel is about love and mercy, forgiveness, about love of neighbor. But we don't come here to keep these things for ourselves, but we're sent out into the messiness of the world to bring those gospel values into the heart of our lives, wherever they may be, whether on an individual basis or on a worldly basis. And we are asked to take these values to the our individual lives, to our families, to our politics, to our government, to these questions about immigration and refugees and about deportation. We're asked to take all of these values and bring them into the world. That is our calling as Christians. And what's interesting is that in one of Rowan Williams' other books, called On Being Christian, this is what he talks about at the heart of the Eucharist, is that we come here to be refreshed with the Christ's body and blood. Again, not to keep it as a private thing, but to be sent out into the world. And it's interesting, in the story of the Transfiguration, they have this separate encounter with Christ. When the disciples talk about, let's build some booths, let's make a separate altar here, he doesn't even acknowledge what they say, but says, let's get back down to the mountain, into the world. And that is what we are sent to do when we leave this church, to take those values that underpin Judeo-Christian civilization of mercy and love of neighbor and generosity, and make those values real in our Western civilization. Amen.